Appreciate the Holy Ghost that's in the house today. The presence of the Lord. Want Him to have His way. Work His will in our lives, don't you? Matthew 22, verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. And they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and treated them spitefully, and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth, sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, the story ends sad, doesn't it? Amen. But I want you to notice here, and it's what I want to preach today. First, he called him friend. First, he called him friend. Could you ask the Lord to bless his word here today in our hearing? Thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask that you bless your word in our hearing today. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before this great people. Pray that you would just anoint, oh God, and let your will be accomplished in this altar, in every heart, in every life. God, accomplish your will today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word here today. Amen. We see here in this parable the kingdom of heaven laid out, and there's so much preaching here that obviously I'll not get to be able to do, amen, all of that. But I just really want to call your attention to the last part of this parable that Jesus told. Amen. And we see here the man who comes in without the wedding garment, not having made preparation. He had the opportunity that everybody else did. He had the invitation just like everybody else did. He had the means. He had the opportunity. He had the support. Amen. He had the privilege just like everybody else. But there was something different. He didn't take it serious. He didn't make preparation for the presence of the king. Amen? Praise God. There was something different. And so the sad end of this man is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness, bound hand and foot. No way of escape. No reset button. No return. No back up and rewind and do it again. It was over. It was eternity in torment. How many knows that's a reality for so many souls? Eternity in torment. No way of escape. No hope. Amen. For a second chance. Amen. But before it ever got to that point, amen, there was a moment in time where first the king called him friend. Amen. There was a hand of a friend extended to him. There was an opportunity, amen, to make things right. Hallelujah. What a picture of our God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he's a just God. Amen. The just judge of all the earth who must judge right. Amen. Yes, we see that. Amen. Then there's some that take it such to extreme. God is love and God doesn't judge anybody. And amen. But the reality of it is that God is love. God is merciful. God is gracious. Amen. And God is just. Amen. Praise God. God doesn't send people to hell. Their sin is what sends them to hell. Amen. Their own sin condemns them. Amen. And that's when they end up into a place of eternal torment. Amen. But the picture we have of the king in this passage, amen, is one of mercy and grace unmatched like any other. Amen. I'm glad for the mercy of God that's been extended to my life. Amen. Are you glad for God's great grace and his mercy? Amen. The Bible said made new every morning like the dew that falls upon the grass. The great mercy of God and his loving kindness, his tender mercies, he's long suffering. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. I dare say, amen, and I truly believe there's not a person in hell today that did not have an opportunity. There's not a person in hell that can justly blame God and say, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have an opportunity. Somewhere along the line, amen, before they were bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness, first, somewhere along the line, he called them friend. Somewhere along the line, there was a hand of mercy extended unto them. There was an opportunity to make things right. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said through the prophet Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's the God we serve. Amen. We see in this text the intimate greeting. He called him friend. There was probably some who were looking on that were ready for a rebuke. They were looking for harsh words to emerge out of the king's lips when they seen this man who really didn't take it serious. Amen. Who made a mockery of the invitation. Can I say it like that? Who came into the presence of the king in a casual format. He'll understand. It'll be all right. He'll overlook me. He won't notice. And so when the king sees him and comes over, and I guarantee all the eyes are on the king, they're waiting for what he's going to say. It's a word of rebuke. He's going to cast him out. There's going to be reprimand, but the first word that emerged out of his mouth, friend. You know what? I just feel here on this Sunday morning. Amen. There might be somebody in the house. Amen. And there's a hand of friendship extended to you here this morning. Maybe you're on a path that you shouldn't be. Maybe you're walking down a road you shouldn't. Maybe you haven't taken serious the things of God like you should. Amen. Before you ever get to the point, amen, where there's judgment, before you ever get to the point where there's the death sentence of eternity, depart from me, I never knew you, before you ever get to that place, amen, there is a hand of friendship. Amen. First, he called him friend. And I can just feel in my spirit and hear, amen, the sweet Holy Ghost whispering something of friendship to someone in this house today. Amen. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to go contrary to God's word. Amen. Your end does not have to be torment. You don't have to go to hell. Amen. There's a hand of friendship. There's an intimate greeting from the king saying, let's stop this right here while there's time, while there's opportunity. Let's make this right. Hallelujah. The love of God is shown in this greeting. The length of God's grace is seen. His mercy, His love. The backslidden preacher Jonah said it right. He said, I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He's not just sitting up in heaven waiting for you to make a mistake. He's not just waiting for somebody to cross the line of grace so that he can let them alone. He's not just waiting for that. He does not delight in that. That he has no pleasure in that. It's God's desire. Amen. It's the mission of the Master that you come to repentance here on this Sunday morning. If there's transgression in your life, if there's condemnation because of sin, amen, it is the love of God, it is the grace of God that is reaching for you even as I speak here this morning. Amen. There's rejoicing that goes on in heaven over the repentance of one sinner. Amen. Souls are the apple of God's eye. Amen. It is His desire to reach, amen, to the uttermost. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. His arm is not shortened that he cannot save. Amen. Though you may be in the depths of sin this morning, though you may be walking contrary to his will and to his way, though you may be living in hypocrisy, can I tell you first, right at this moment, before judgment, before condemnation, before iniquity brings you to an end, first he's calling to you as a friend. Friend? Hallelujah. Jesus, the friend of sinners. Wasn't that what he was called? The psalmist said, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That's the God I'm preaching about here this morning. Oh, hallelujah. The compassion, the mercy, the love. Hallelujah. That he has. You see, this word here that he used, friend, was not just an acquaintance. It can be determined that this word really meant a comrade, a close friendship, an intimate friend or companion, someone you've worked with, a fellow soldier you fought alongside. There's a relationship it speaks of there. Amen. There's a deeper friendship than just an acquaintance. Boy, it seemed like the word friend has been so, the definition of it has lessened so much now with social media, and you can just friend anybody and all of that. Amen. Friendship is not what it used to be. Isn't that the truth? Amen. But when he called him friend, he was saying, you were a comrade. I'm just, you know, using some speculation here, and this is my own personal commentary, if I could have the liberty to say that. But I wonder if that doesn't denote that maybe there was a relationship there. Maybe he did know the king. Maybe he used to fight alongside the king back in the day. There was a companionship. He was a comrade of the king. And maybe that is the reason and the explanation, amen, for his lack of seriousness at the king's invitation. It's just the king. He'll understand. We used to be close. Oh, come on now. Isn't that how some folks live their Christian walk with God? He'll understand. He'll wink at my mistakes. He's not gonna condemn me. He's not gonna judge me if I mess up. It's just the king. We go way back, me and the king. Come on, somebody. Amen. I knew the king back in the day. We used to fight alongside each other. We used to be friends. We used to be close. The king will understand. Hallelujah. The king enters the banquet hall. All of these people. Amen. But his eyes go to the one who wasn't ready. He sees the heart. He sees beyond any facade, beyond any masquerade. He sees where the heart is, doesn't he? Amen. Praise God. He's seen that the lack of preparation, the lack of seriousness. Amen. The man just didn't care what the king thought. There's obviously denotes guilt when he was speechless. He had nothing to say. He knew his heart was not right. Hallelujah. What are you going to say when you stand before God? Boy, we've heard people say all kinds of different things, haven't we? Hey, man, I'm going to say this. I'm like, you're not going to say anything. When you get in the presence of the King of Kings, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what the Bible says? We're going to be judged according to the deeds done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're evil. We're going to give account. The books are going to be open. We're going to stand before the king. And if you have not made preparation for eternity, I mean, really, that's what this whole scenario is all about. The importance of making preparation for the presence of the king. Every single day that you live, every single service you come to, every altar service that you let pass by is an opportunity to make preparation for eternity. You're making preparation to stand before the king one of these days. Oh, I want to hear him say, well done. I want him to be pleased when the books are open and I give account for every thought and every idle word and every deed that I've done. I want to make sure I'm making preparation to stand before the king. Hallelujah. We see the intimate greeting. He called him friend. Friend? Friend. Let's talk about the inconvenience of the garment. Why didn't he just get the garment on? I mean, seriously, everybody else did. Why didn't he? Why didn't he just put the garment on? Well, it's not always convenient to put the garment on. It's not always convenient to do the right thing. It goes against our fleshly nature. Isn't that the truth? It goes against our grain, if you can say it like that. You see, the flesh, it's crying out for a convenient way. Amen. You think about Paul standing before Felix in that courtroom in Acts chapter 24. And the Bible said as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Oh, how much do we hear in 2017? A cry for a convenient Christianity. If you'll make it convenient, I'll live it. Amen. I'll go to the wedding, but I don't want to put on the garment. Amen. I'll do, amen, part of it. Amen. But I'm not going to do it all. I'll live what I want. I'll pick and choose out of God's word, out of his print. It don't work like that, friend. Amen. You either serve him or you don't. No man can serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or you hate the one and love the other. You're not going to live for God and self. Hallelujah. It's an inconvenient garment. That's why I didn't put it on. It goes against our nature. The flesh cries for convenience. The spirit demands a cross. There's a crucifixion that has to take place. I have to die daily. I have to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the inconvenience of Christianity that bring the fruits of righteousness to our experience. It's when we say no to self. It's when we deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Christ. That's when, my friend, that you're putting on the wedding garment. That's when that you're making preparation to stand in the presence of the King. Woo! It's an inconvenient garment. It doesn't always seem easy. The right thing's not always the easiest thing to do. But you realize the deception of delay in putting this garment on? You realize the plea for convenience is a delusion? Sure it is. I mean, there is no such thing as convenient Christianity. You think about how they were offended at Jesus when he really told them how things really are. I mean, they were offended at him. It's never convenient to cut off a hand. And it sure ain't convenient to pluck out an eye. No, it ain't convenient to stretch the flesh out on the cross and keep the old man crucified. Oh, come on now. It's not convenient, amen, to say no to self and make sure that I bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. That's not always convenient. The easy road is the road of wickedness, amen, and iniquity, just to let the passions and lusts of the desires of the flesh to rule and reign in our life. Amen. But God said, amen, if you're going to come up after me, if he that's going to follow me is going to have to deny himself daily. It's a daily denial. Bringing ourselves into subjection. Oh, yes. Submitted to the mighty hand of God. What is the wedding garment? Well, the book of Revelation tells us plainly what the wedding garment is. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. John said, "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." What is the big deal about the wedding garment? The wedding garment is being clothed with righteousness.
The wedding garment is putting on righteousness. And you notice the wording there? Boy, I love the King James Version. Amen. The purest translation we have in the English language. Somebody say amen. I love the way he said his wife hath made herself ready. Listen, to put on the wedding garment. Sometimes you got to make yourself. Amen. You're not always going to feel like doing what's right. Come on, young person. You're not always going to feel like, amen, turning the head and saying no. You got to make yourself. You got to make yourself put on the garment. You got to make yourself get ready and stand in the presence of the King. His wife, the bride of Christ, she hath made herself ready. She put on righteousness. She was clothed in holiness. She was clothed in right doing. Living righteously before God. There's a different gospel being preached today in pulpits all across America, saying you can live as you want, you can do as you want. God's not going to judge you on your weak points. God's not going to look at your back. Hey, man, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Word of God says. There's going to be a lot of people who get to the wedding day without a garment because they just didn't want the inconvenience of having to put it on, having to tell themselves no. Now listen, how are you going to live holy in the day and hour in which we live? There's so much evil, there's so much iniquity, there's so much opportunity to delve into horrible sin. I mean, it's at your fingertips. How are you going to live holy? One no at a time. No. 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 No, no, in that, that's putting on the wedding garment, isn't it? No, 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 I don't do that. I don't talk like that. I don't listen to that. I don't watch that. I don't go there. I don't become a member of that. That's not where I frequent. Hey, man, no, I'm going to live holy. I'm going to put on the wedding garment one no at a time. I'm going to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. It may not be convenient. It may not be what the flesh wants. But, brother, it's going to be worth it someday when I stand in the presence of the King, and I know that I'm ready to meet my Maker. Woo! Hallelujah! You see, Felix, going back to Felix, Acts 24, he communed with Paul often, but he only trembled once. We never read where Felix repented. His convenient season was right then. He put it off. I'm going to wait till it's easier. I'm going to wait till it's convenient. You're going to be waiting a while. How many people are in hell this morning that their convenient season never came? It never came. There was no convenient time. There was no perfect time. When I get all this sorted out in my life, then I'll give my heart to the Lord. When I get all this figured out, then I'm going to really... That's not how it works, friend. You come and you fall on an old-fashioned altar and you grab a hold of that hand of friendship and mercy that's being extended to you right here on this Sunday morning, and you say, God, I know my life's a mess and I can't figure it all out, but I want to fall on your friendship and your mercy. I want you to be Lord of my life, and you can take me through all the mess of life every step of the way. So many people put it off because they're trying to work everything out in their life and wait till it's convenient. It'll never come. It'll never come. He never trembled again. Paul communed with him often. That was his chance. First, he called him friend. The end of the man in Matthew, the parable we read in 22. The end, he's bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. But it didn't have to end that way. It didn't have to end that way. First, he called him friend. First, I believe that was a direct invitation from the King. Let's make this right. If he would have poured out his heart in repentance, I think maybe the story would have ended there. It's just what I feel. I'm sorry. I feel like if there would have, it was a plea. It was an invitation. Come on, friend. You know better than what you're living. Come on, friend. You know better. Why are you doing this? Why are you living this way? You know better than what you're living. Well, I can feel the Holy Ghost tugging on somebody's heart right now. Come on, friend. Come on, friend. You know better than how you've been living. Your relationship with the King is much deeper and much stronger than where you are right now. Hey, you can look back a day and realize I used to be closer to the King than I am. You know better than what you're living. Come on, friend. What are you doing? The last thing we see is the intolerance of God's grace. I mean, we hear tolerate, tolerate, tolerate being preached and shoved down and crammed down our throats 24/7 in the society in which we live. You got to tolerate me. You got to tolerate me. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is love. God is just. And there comes a line where he says, I'm not going to tolerate your sin. I'm not going to tolerate your iniquity. And then your own doing, your own heart condemns you. Your own transgression rise up in condemnation to you. Amen. And that's where the line is drawn, and you are cast into outer darkness because of your own deeds. It's not God's fault if you go to hell. It's not God's fault if your family goes to hell. He's trying this morning to call unto you as a friend and say, let's make it right. I can change your heart. I can change your life. I can save your marriage. I can save your children if you'll just grab a hold of my hand of friendship. Hallelujah. The intolerance of God's grace is seen. The writer of Hebrews, if we sin willfully, chapter 10, verse 26, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, we're not living up to what we know. We're not taking it serious. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. A certain people looking for of judgment, fiery indignation. I mean, we know the rest of this text. We know it ends. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a sad story. When the parable ends, he's bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. There's weeping. There's gnashing of teeth. What a terrible picture. But it didn't have to be that way. Before the judgment ever came, before condemnation ever was pronounced upon his soul, first he said, friend, won't you come on, friend? And here on this Sunday morning, amen, it doesn't have to end with outer darkness. It doesn't have to end with your soul being lost for eternity. God's mercy is saying, come on, friend. Sweetheart, would you come to the piano, please? I'm closing. The story is told in history of a man from Pennsylvania. I'm sure you've probably read this or heard this, named George Wilson, who was convicted in 1829 for theft and murder. And though President Andrew Jackson granted George Wilson full pardon, he refused the pardon. He insisted that he was not pardoned unless he accepted it. This was a point of law that was never raised before. So President Jackson called upon the Supreme Court to decide. Chief Justice John Marshall read the ruling as such. A pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. If it is refused, it is no pardon. And George Wilson died hanging from the neck until dead. It was a pardon, but he just didn't accept it. There's a hand of friendship. Are you going to accept it? Jesus paid the price for the pardon for your soul. All you have to do is accept this hand of mercy today. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost pulling for somebody. Oh, I need a praying church right here. We're coming to this altar here in just a moment. I feel old-time conviction in this house for somebody's soul. You know, I was thinking, and I'm closing here. I was thinking about Judas. Judas walked with Jesus. He had fellowship with Jesus. Jesus called him out just like he did all the other disciples. Then, long story short, the flesh got the best of Judas. His lust for money. He was a thief, the Bible said. He held the bag. He was coveted money. And long story short, the devil entered into him, and he betrayed the Son of God. He agreed to do such for 30 pieces of silver. But you remember what happened there in the garden, amen, where Jesus had been crying bitter tears, blood, sweat as great drops of blood in that garden, and dawn was getting ready to break, and he's waking up the disciples saying, hey, he's coming that's getting ready to betray me. And here comes Judas leading a mob. There's a band of men there, got swords and staves and lanterns, and they're coming after Jesus. They enter into that garden, and Judas is there in the forefront. Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus knows his heart. He knows what's going on. Harry remembers how he addressed Judas. He didn't say, you sorry dog. You betrayer. You dirty scoundrel. First word out of his mouth, friend, wherefore art thou come? What are you doing, Judas? Now, you may correct me if I'm wrong, and this is just my personal belief. I don't believe in predestination. I believe Judas had a choice. He was not destined to darkness. He had a choice. Amen. You know what Jesus was doing? Amen. In that morning there, early hours. Amen. As they came in the darkness there, that treacherous night of deception and betrayal. Amen. The first word out of his mouth, come on, friend. What are you doing, Judas? Don't you remember what we used to be? Don't you remember the friendship we used to have? Don't you remember the relationship? What are you doing? I can just see the look on Judas' face. Boy, I'm using a lot of speculation this morning, but it feels good. I can just see the look on... He's braced, man. He's seen Jesus point his finger in those Pharisees' face and rebuke them, call them scribes and Pharisees, a bunch of hypocrites, vipers, generation. How can he escape the damnation of hell? He's seen him, amen, when he's rebuked people. He's seen him with righteous indignation. He's seen that side of Jesus, and he's braced. He's ready. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, friend, what? Friend? The night goes on. We know the story. Judgment's pronounced. Jesus condemned to death. Peter's betraying, the shepherd's smitten, the sheep are scattered. But somewhere in a corner, there's Judas wringing his hands. He called me friend. I thought he would be mad. I thought he would be upset. But he called me friend. Why did he call me friend? When I'm the Holy Ghost here this morning. I don't understand it. He knew what I was doing. He knew. Why? I don't understand. I've got to make this right. He runs to the priest and, hey, I betrayed the innocent blood. Here's the money back. Oh, man, what is that to us? You see to that. Hey, man, you didn't care about it. Hey, man, 30 minutes ago. You didn't care about it 2 days ago. What do you mean? So he throws the 30 pieces down on the floor and he goes out and he commits suicide and falls headlong into hell. Now, I've heard preachers say, I've probably said it myself, Brother Ralston, that the sound of that money hitting the floor is ringing in the ears of Judas for eternity. And that's all well and good, but you know what? This morning, you know what I think? For thousands of years, Judas has heard one word over and over and over. Friend. Friend? He called me friend? After all I've done, after he knows my heart, he knows what I'm doing, and he still called me friend. Hey, you're here this morning. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost reaching for somebody. Oh, saints of God, would you pray for conviction? You're here this morning, and you know you're not living right. You know you're not doing right. But I want you to know, he's calling to you friend. He's saying, friend, won't you come? Come on, friend. Well, I'm making an altar invitation right here. Right here, this altar is open for somebody. And I hear the Holy Ghost of heaven saying one word, friend. Come on, friend. This altar's open. I'm tarrying for somebody right now. I'm waiting for you. Just get up out of where you're at and come and fall in this old-fashioned altar. and let God work everything out. Come on, grab a hold of His hand of friendship. It's extended for a time. Here in this moment in time, amen, while you have the opportunity, while His hand is extended unto you, accept the pardon. Accept His plea for pardon. I'm waiting on somebody here this morning. The church is praying, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Amen. Nobody's looking around. You have your privacy. Go ahead. Amen. Get up and come. Amen. Come and meet the Lord at this altar. He's standing here with open arms. But preacher, don't you know what I've done? Don't you see how far I've drifted? Amen. I'm not where I used to be. He's saying, come on, friend. Come on, friend. In the name of Jesus. Come on, friend. Don't you remember where you used to stand with the Lord? Look how far you've drifted. Look how far you've gone. He's saying, come on, friend. It don't have to end this way. Oh, I feel the Lord pulling on somebody's heart. Won't you just go ahead and respond? Oh, I'm praying for a response right now in the name of Jesus. It don't have to end this way.
From His presence too long. And it doesn't matter how
He's saying, come on, friend.
Been
come on, friend. We can make things right. There's grace today. There's mercy for this moment. You don't have to end up that way. It doesn't have to end that way. Come on, right now. In the name of Jesus, step out. I'm waiting just a few moments more, and then we're going to call the church in. Would you come this morning? The Holy Ghost has made a plea. Would you come this morning? Come on, I'm waiting on somebody right now. Today is your day. Right now, don't push it off. Don't wait. I've got to sort this out. I've got to work through it. No, just come to the altar. Just respond to the plea of God as He reaches for you today. What's people going to think? What are they? It doesn't matter any of that. It doesn't matter. We're all for you. Nobody's against you. We're all reaching for you in love today. Nobody's going to think ill. Nobody's going to think cross of you. Amen. Just come and fall in the arms of Jesus today. Come on. Come on, somebody. You know you want to. You know you're thinking about it. Just come on right now. In the name of Jesus. Get up where you're at and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want to draw closer to you than I've ever been. Lord, I want to be a better friend to you, Jesus. Right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's find a place to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for His sweet spirit. on. Come with the church as they're coming. Respond to this invitation of the Holy Ghost as He made an invitation to you today. Make a response. If you just sit there, you're still making a response. If you push God away, you're saying no. Won't you say yes to His hand of friendship? No response is still a response. You're saying no. Come on. Come on. Fall in this altar and let God make it right.